This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
A Black Eye for Blackstone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Private equity's Blackstone Group is ringing in the new year with a bit of an embarrassment. The firm doesn't have financing for its deal to buy the mortgage and vehicle leasing company PHH. This morning, reports are PHH wants a $50 million breakup fee. The year and the key issues remain: tight credit conditions and fear of recession. Asian stock markets were down overnight after reports of slower growth in South Korea and Singapore. The major markets in Europe are also lower. Later this morning, we'll get the numbers on U.S. manufacturing. The strike by film and TV writers is headed for its ninth week. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers calculates the cost at more than $151 million. Now Hollywood directors are gearing up for their contract negotiations. As Stacey Vanek Smith reports, what happens in these talks could have major repercussions.
The directors have to hammer out many of the same issues the writers do, namely how they will get paid for content distributed on the internet. But Hollywood Today's Alex Ben Block doesn't expect these negotiations will be very contentious.
In the entire history of the Directors Guild, they've only had one strike, and it lasted 5 minutes.
Block says directors generally make a lot of money, so they don't rely on residual payouts and union programs the way writers do. But Block says whatever the directors decide will set the bargaining precedent, and that puts a lot of pressure on the Directors Guild to make a deal everyone likes.
If the directors get a deal with management, then management will come back to the writers and say, this is the deal on new media. Typical of this industry is pattern bargaining, where one guild makes a deal and then everybody else follows the pattern.
The Writers Guild has been meeting with the Directors Guild to discuss strike issues, and everyone wants a resolution. The strike is costing Tinseltown an estimated $20 million a day. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
In Washington, Congress will be hustling to overhaul the rules for the government's electronic surveillance program. The temporary Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, has to be renewed before February. But first, Congress has to decide whether FISA should protect telecom companies from lawsuits. The government says it needs them to eavesdrop on phone calls and read emails from suspected terrorists. But as Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, that's put the industry in hot water.
Some telecommunications companies have been sued by civil liberties groups who claim privacy violations. Some lawmakers want to give the telecommunications industry legal immunity. That doesn't sit well with Mark Rotenberg of the Electronic Privacy Information Center.
We don't typically say to people who've committed unlawful acts, it's okay, we'll look the other way. There has to be some effort to ensure that the privacy laws will be enforced.
NYU Stern School of Business professor Lawrence White is against blanket immunity, but he says the telecommunications companies do need some legal protections.
They have legitimate concerns about being sued in circumstances where essentially there are conflicting pressures on them.
White says there's pressure to protect privacy while ferreting out terrorists. Congress will have to figure out how to balance those pressures by February 1st when the law expires. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
2007 was the year sovereign wealth funds went shopping on Wall Street. Abu Dhabi bought a stake in Citigroup. China invested in Morgan Stanley. And Singapore got a piece of Merrill Lynch. Now the Financial Times reports the Kuwaiti Investment Authority is looking for a bargain in financial services. That fund is sitting on $213 billion.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant making, employee giving, and volunteerism. Online at Medtronic.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Some of the most sacred ground in Ireland has become the focus of an intense controversy. The Hill of Tara, northwest of Dublin, has been a prehistoric burial place, a pagan sanctuary, and a seat of power for the Irish kings. Now the government is planning to build a 4-lane highway through an adjacent valley. Stephen Beard reports on how economic development is threatening the hill's sanctity.
At dead of night, a group of pagans shuffles around a bonfire on top of the hill, casting a spell against the new road. Con Connors, a druid, says the planned highway will desecrate a Celtic deity.
Forcing this road through would primarily destroy the valley that was sacred to the White Mare goddess.
It won't just be the noise of traffic and the fumes, he says. An even bigger threat to the goddess of the White Mare is vibration.
The actual rumbling and trembling of the earth could cause, ultimately, the 5 sacred wells on the Hill of Tara itself, for the water table to collapse and for those wells to run dry.
Pagans are not the only protesters against the road. Lawyer Vincent Salafi is one of the many other opponents.
Well, the motorway is passing through an area of outstanding scenic beauty, as well as an area that is chock-a-block with archaeological and cultural heritage, both above and below the ground.
1.10 meters. Yeah. 45.
The government agrees this is an archaeological treasure trove.
1.30 meters. 49.
Archaeologists employed by the National Road Authority have sifted through the site and made an important discovery, the remnants of an Iron Age amphitheatre. The government's declared the site a national monument, but that won't stop the road, says the authority's Mary Devey.
Although it's a national monument, that doesn't mean it's no one can ever do any research or excavation or work on it.
Or build a road on top of it.
Yes, and in this instance, or build a road on it, yes.
The road is economically essential, she says, to ease the traffic congestion into Dublin. The road will go ahead.
Tara.
And so will the protest. The pagans accuse the government of sacrificing Ireland's most sacred landscape on the altar of economic progress. On the Hill of Tara, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.